Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the potty. We're back. And today we have another special guest. Kale, I feel like we're kind of on a roll with the guests here lately.
No, we honestly are. We just keep having these cool guests with like such cool backgrounds. And to add to our list today, we have another great one. I won't delay in introducing him. He is a fellow Miramichi-er. I'm not sure if you were you born and raised in Miramichi?
Yep, spent most of my life here.
Nice. Yeah, likewise. So the voice you just heard is the one, the only Dylan Ryan. Yeah. Do you want to give the listeners a little bit of a feel for yourself and who you are?
Yeah. Well, my name's Dylan Ryan. As you just heard, I'll be 33 next week. I've been a full-time musician, playing around the East Coast and in Canada for the better part of 20 years. I started playing music very young, and yeah, I've sort of carved a small career for myself playing music and teaching music. And that's the short bio of me, I guess.
Well, I love it. It's just so commendable just how long you've been doing music and just your passion for music. And so I was like, oh my gosh, we definitely have to have Dylan on the potty.
Yeah.
Before we get right into the nitty gritty, all of our questions and all of the fun things that we're going to discuss on this episode, I just want to ask the question, the age old question, how have your weeks been?
How have my weeks been?
Or how has your week, I asked that collectively, but like, how has your week been?
Oh, so busy, to be honest, because we have the record release coming out next week. You know, I'm a self-managed artist. Obviously, I work with some different people, like I have a publicist and everything, but so much of my time is just spent emails back and forth to this venue, to that, and there's just so much that goes into making and releasing a record, so like, it's really exciting, but I'll be glad to have it out in the world. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I can only imagine just that, the buildup until it's released. And like you said, it's music is more than just the performance. It's, you know, there's a whole crazy, hectic business side to it as well. So,
yeah. I try not to dwell on that too much because that's kind of like the ugly side of music. Like I got into music because I just am generally just a huge music fan. But yeah, it's kind of like a necessary evil, I guess.
A necessary evil. I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. Sarah, how's your week been?
Definitely not as hectic as Dylan's. But, it's been good. Just like, you know, same old, went to work, just like hung out. Pretty chill week for me.
Yeah.
How's your week been, Kale?
Yes, same. I've just been working lots. I finished school, so yay. Not like finished, but like finished another year. And then now I'm just on the home stretch, just working until the weekend, and then I'm going to come back to the Miramichi and just have a blast. But no, my week has been hectic just trying to get, I already discussed it last episode, someone to rent my apartment, kind of all that hectic craziness.
Yes.
How's rent in Halifax these days?
Well, I'll tell you.
Is it crazy?
Terrible.
It is terrible. And what sucks is, like, the apartment that I've had for the past 3 years. And so it has that, like, rent cap on it, which I just hate that it even has a rent cap because it's just like, you know, they keep increasing rent. But because of that, all the apartments in the area are, like, a lot more expensive than mine right now.
Right.
Even though mine's expensive. But so all these, like, I got almost 200 people messaging me just because they're like, wow, this is such a cheap apartment, but nice. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but they're increasing the price in September. So it sucks. The living situation sucks for what you get. It's not like you could pay this much in Miramichi and get a really nice place, I would think. However, enough talk about rent, but we love to talk about our lives and our current in our current situations. However,
I'm sorry to bring up such a downer topic.
No, because
how's your rent?
My rent is terrible. No, you're totally valid in asking about rent because we can't just escape all of the negative things in this world.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, just kidding. I don't have anything to follow up with that. I just wanted to try to segue into something, but our questions for you aren't downer questions at all. We kind of came up with some fun ones, I think, just to really get to know you more. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit about the record as well, but I wanted to focus, you know, who is Dylan Ryan and what pushes you to make music and just, Yeah, and all of your... Okay, so I won't spoil them. Sarah, did you want to ask the first question?
If you could transport yourself back to an iconic 80s music video, which one would it be, and what role would you like to play in it? Starting off, just getting the creative juices flowing.
No, exactly. Yeah,
that's a heavy hitter, but that's such an important question. I don't know. I feel like the Safety Dance would have been a cool video. We can dance if we want to. You know that one?
Yeah.
That's a pretty iconic video. I mean, obviously, A-ha's Take on Me is like a classic 80s video, but I don't know. I feel like music videos needs a really good resurgence of just like quirky videos. I find videos now are just so serious. Like the 80s had such a playful aspect.
Yeah.
But I feel like they were making videos that were they were trying to be serious, but it just came off as so goofy, and that's kind of the charm of them.
Music, I guess it comes with technology as well, that like we are able, I guess, to create such a like a lot more of a cohesive like storyline and stuff. Like, not that we couldn't before, but just and I find there's almost like a relational piece too in the music videos back then, where they would relate a lot more to the music than now, where they just kind of, it's almost like a short film essentially a lot of the times.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the if you're familiar with the band Talking Heads, but they had a video for the song Once in a Lifetime, and it's go watch it after we're done this. It's basically like the singer just being like really quirky, wearing a suit, and there's just all this like really crazy green screen stuff going on behind it, and I'm just like, we need to get back to that. Like, we need horrible green screen videos.
Oh my god, horrible. I used to make so many horrible green screen videos. I just would make like these music videos just like to songs that weren't mine when like growing up, and that was kind of just like my childhood. And so I totally agree with that. Just, we just need a lot more creative liberties, and just, and especially even smaller musicians who, you know, aren't...
All I'm thinking about right now is like the JoJo Siwa video. I don't know.
Not
about when she's just coming out of the water.
Have you watched that video, Dylan?
Yeah, that is familiar, yeah.
I love that so much.
Now,
oh my god.
How old are you guys? Just so I have a...
We're like 22.
Like... 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm 32. It's the early 2000s when I was like heavily watching Much Music before Much Music stopped having music. there was some pretty amazing videos at that time. The early 2000s had some real cheesy videos that I was just here for.
Yeah. No, I feel like I definitely saw,
yeah,
you know, some early 2000s like videos as well. But yeah, I guess the majority of my life has just been those, the super complex, like high budget ones, where it's like, you know, that's what we're all familiar with now. So I do agree with you. We do need to have a little throwback, and yeah, which I feel like is really nice what you're doing with music, because your sound is so nostalgic, but so like new and so like innovative. And it really just works. And I feel like it creates a world in and of itself. Like, I was listening to a lot of your music, and I have before, but just more recently as we were waiting to record the episode, just familiarizing myself with your stuff, and right. And I really just was like, I just was sitting there and I was like, wow, this is, it just teleports me to a whole different spot.
I just think a lot of that music, especially from the 80s, had such a cinematic quality that was just put into these simple pop songs, and I really like when I hear that in modern music. And you know, there's definitely bands that are still waving the flag for that, but I like music that gives a little bit of imagery, which, and still remains like a fun aspect to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, I guess I'll throw out my next question at you. Okay, like we said, you know, nostalgic kind of 80s influence to your stuff. And right. So when you're creating it, do you feel like, or I guess how do you incorporate all of that kind of into, go on. Sorry, my dog is trying to be part of the podcast. How do you really infuse those elements into your music without making it feel like, I guess, just a throwback or something? Because, like, you know, you want to create your own path, but also you're I feel like you're very heavily influenced by so many different artists or sounds, right?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to not deliberately trying to like force an influence to what you're doing. I think if I create something and it, you know, if it sounds a little bit like The Killers or if it sounds a little bit like David Bowie, I just go with it because those are things that I enjoy. But I don't think I ever sit down to say, I'm going to make a song that sounds like X, Y, and Z. I just think that when I play guitar, when I play piano, it's just sort of like a bit of a melting pot of all the music that I've listened to throughout my life. And I think every musician has a little bit of a vocabulary that they like to draw from. And, you know, if I start doing a little bit of a chord sequence, it might just be natural for me to go to this thing. And next thing I know, I have a song that sounds like The Cure or something.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. You mentioned you play piano and guitar. Yeah. Which one did you learn first? And which one, like, do you, I guess, I know, like, I feel like a lot of artists that I've talked to in my life, like, will have, like, kind of a preference for one. And of course, like, if you play both, then, I mean, you can switch back and forth, which is nice. But
I would definitely say that the one that I'm most proficient at is guitar, but I definitely have a love for piano. And I think that I love to write on piano because it's kind of like the bare bones idea of a song. When I'm writing songs, I like to kind of have the lowest common denominator of the song, and then you can add all the sort of fancy stuff on top of it. You want, like, a song to be great at its very, like, core.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, yeah, I can see how, yeah.
It's so cool. I'm jealous of people who can play instruments. I bought a ukulele. I bought a ukulele years ago, and it's just, like, sitting in my room. Because I just got frustrated.
It's never too late.
I just got so frustrated with it. I don't know. I don't have, like, strumming fingers, I think.
Well, that's like even me with guitar. Like, I've played piano for a long time now. But, like, I bought a guitar just, like, wanting to learn. And I can play, but, like, it's really difficult. Like, I can't do any bar chords. I just, my fingers just don't want to, like, hold the strings that way. And it does hurt a little bit, like, you know, not playing the guitar and then trying to get into it. And you're like, okay, my fingers feel like they're bleeding for a for a week or two. Yeah. But
see, I teach guitar lessons, too. And that's usually the number one thing that everyone I teach, like, after about the third lesson, they're like, why is this so painful?
Really, though? Yeah.
I'm like, well, I hate to tell you, but it's going to get way more painful before it's easy.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's why I stuck to piano for so long. Just no pain, other than the occasional time where you'd stretch your fingers out so far to reach two notes that it hurts. But not the same way that it does when you play guitar. Although you must not experience that ever, Dylan, because you're so, you know, well-versed and experienced in playing guitar. Your fingers must just be like rocks. Not rocks, but like...
Used to it by now.
Well, you know, I play probably about 100 shows a year, so it's just something that I don't even think about anymore. Like, I wouldn't even know if they're hurting.
Yeah.
And they probably aren't.
That makes sense.
I'm probably just used
to it. Oh, yeah, and they probably aren't after all this time anyway. But that's so cool. I love that. Sarah, do you have another question?
Yeah, so do you have any moments when either a song from the 80s, or not even like the 80s, just like any...
Like, 80s, 90s. I know, like, anything that...
Yeah.
Like, that you grew up with in that melting pot.
Yeah, anything, like, music-related from any time period sparked, like, inspiration for something you created.
I think it's easier to just pinpoint artists in general. I don't know if there's any particular song, but, you know, I've often been asked, like, what are your favorite songs of all time? And it's such a loaded question. But I would say it's just more bands and like the trajectory of bands' careers that have really inspired me. Like, I'm a huge David Bowie fan, and the way that David would just, he would create a sound for one record and it would be extremely successful. Like, he would do a glam rock record, then he would say, oh no, I'm going to do an R&B and soul record now. And I just think that's so great. And, you know, David really had it all. He had the fashion. He had the great players in his band. He had the great album art. And I just think that artists that really have an eye for every angle of their career is what kind of keeps me going.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it would be a lot to juggle too, just all those things. I can't even imagine how David did it, but yeah. Let me see what I've got next to throw at you. Okay, I know you're in a band right now, but if you were to form kind of like this, it's kind of touches on inspiration. A lot of these do, I feel like, but if you were to just choose, and I feel like, okay, let's say no David Bowie, just because you already said that. If you were to pick, pick three musicians to be in a band with you, regardless of genre, whatever, who would they be? Oh, my.
Famous musicians, are we talking?
Not necessarily. Any musician whatsoever.
Okay, so I'm going to put my band aside because I really, like, love the people that I play in my group with. But I'm going to say Liam Gallagher from Oasis.
Okay.
He's gonna be in my super group. Johnny Marr from The Smiths.
Nice.
He's gonna play some guitar in there. Now we need a drummer, don't we? I'm gonna say Jimmy Chamberlain from The Smashing Pumpkins. I'm gonna be in a band with those three.
I wish I knew more about the people you mentioned.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, I'm very familiar with all the bands like that they were in, but at the same time,
yeah, I'm familiar with the bands, but like,
what are some of your guys' favorite bands? Like, I'd love to hear that. Like, what do you guys listen to?
What do we listen to? I feel like okay, there's no wrong answers. There's no wrong answers, even though you're so like.
I don't know if I listen to like a lot of bands per se,
or artists, anyone at all. Like, what's a song you're really into right now?
I'm really into Phoebe Bridgers right now.
Yeah, she's great.
I'm really into Chapel Roan right now.
Up and coming, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love Phoebe Bridgers. I'm really into the band Big Thief right now. I'm not sure, Dylan, are you familiar with that band at all?
No, I'm not. Give me a little bit of a briefing on that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I guess, I'm not sure if I can really tell the cohesive story. I mainly know a lot more about like the lead singer, Adrienne Lenker, I think her name is. She's, I don't know, I just really like their music. So they make like a lot of alternative, which I feel like is a genre that's so funny because alternative can mean so many different things.
Yeah, it's very vague, very vague.
Yeah, just experimental almost. But what I like about their music is that they make a lot of different songs that they'll be playing a song, but it'll change tempo like 8 times during a song. And it's like, it'll just like catch me off guard, but it works so well. And so I find it really where I do have a little bit of like music experience, kind of just whether that's playing piano or like, you know, in a little like band growing up kind of thing. I find it really cool and just impressive that they just have so many different melodies and
just kind of breaking the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And even just like with like time signatures and all this and that. Anyway, so that's why I like their music right now. And I feel like every time I listen to it, they have a couple records out, but I feel like every time I listen to one, I just, like, I'm met with something new and I haven't explored all of them yet because I'm just slowly, I'm a big album guy, so I really...
Me too.
Yeah, I'll enjoy a good single here and there, but I really like it when there's just a nice cohesive album, and whatever cohesive means. Like, it could be the most crazy collection of contrasting, like, songs, but I just like it when a project comes out and just, you know, tangible.
I think it's an artistic statement. And, you know, I like to see a full piece of art like the way a group or an artist intended it to be. I always say that an artist should write 30 songs to pick the best 10 or the best 8 for a record. I like, you know, shorter records that just hit you hard.
Yeah.
Like All Killer, No Filler, just... Like, oh, great, gosh, songs, yeah.
Now, is that the process for this upcoming album in Polaroid?
Yes, absolutely. Because there's so many songs that I could have put on the record, but, you know, as someone that has grown up buying a lot of albums, you know, there's been so many times that I've been let down that you get an album that has, you know, anywhere from 13 to 15 songs, and you have 8 songs that are really strong. You have 3 that are mediocre, then the rest are just absolutely terrible. I'd rather, like, I think I said this in a recent interview, but it's important that you treat it like if you were going to see a band live, and you just, like, a short, concise set of just you know, really great songs and no fad on it whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I love that. It just really shows, you know, because I feel like a lot of the time people feel a rush or that they, at least when I had a brief like little musical stint back in 2019, I just was like, oh my God, let's just put out anything and everything that I could. And I know oftentimes a lot of like smaller artists will just throw out whatever they feel like. And especially in the age of self-publishing, like you can just kind of upload whatever you want. And so I find it really, really nice to have a polished kind of, like you said, just a really cohesive project. And I'm super excited to actually to listen to the full record. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to bounce off that, Sarah. I will let you ask a question here in a moment, but I want to ask what the title of the album means. Does it have a particular meaning? Is it a song?
Well, there's a couple of things about it. You know, I was thinking about when it came time to think of a title for the record, I had some of these, because this full band album has been in the making for like a very long time. Like I've done an acoustic record, I've done different singles, but putting it together, I kept thinking, I was like, this is like snapshots of like different times in the band's career. I almost thought of it as like, it's like a greatest hits of songs that have never been released because there's songs that have come out over the past 5 or 6 years, some newer, some older, but they're like snapshots in time. I was thinking titles like Pop Photographs, and I was like, because they sort of document a place in time. And I think, you know, Polaroid sort of fits with the retro thing that we do just from like an aesthetic standpoint. But I find when you look at a Polaroid picture, you can sort of remember the time, but it's just a little bit hazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about some of these songs. My relationship to the songs is when I play them live, I can remember writing them, but also not really at all, because when you write a great song, it just kind of comes out like very naturally. Yeah. That's how I feel about these songs. I don't know if that answered the question, but kind of.
No, that was that was perfect. That was awesome. That extended like beyond even, which was awesome. And yeah, I really like the idea of the Polaroid too, because, you know, in this digital age, you can take so many photos, but it's like the actual like Polaroids that are like, you know, pictures, I find are still so cool to have physical kind of mementos of different things that you see more often, because I take so many pictures, but they're just in my camera roll and I forget about them.
That's an interesting you should say that, because I think most of us, we probably have thousands and thousands of photos on our iPhone of literally anything. I try to at least every 6 months or once a year, I'll get what I think are like some really nice moments. I'll go to Walmart or wherever and just to the photo lab and just print off a bunch of them. Because I'm a big thing, I'm a big believer in just having things that like exist, whether it be, if you're going to make music, put it out on a CD or put it out on a record, even if you're just make one, just so that it exists and it's not just in the cloud.
Yeah, no, I've often thought about that actually, just about different, like what will we do if, you know, I always say the grid just went down, the internet just went down. And you didn't have access to your, you know, the streaming platform you use, and you didn't have any access to the music that you've loved for so long.
Right.
It's such a scary thought. So go buy CDs. Everybody, let's bring it back.
And it's strange because I'm not like, overall, I'm not like a really materialistic person, but when it comes to like, I believe in archiving things, whether it be my music or memories, I just think it's important to, because like you said, they could just be gone and that's it.
Yeah. No, it's a scary thought in this digital age, for sure, to not do that. I'm like sitting in here just in shock. Like, God, I better buy all the vinyls I can.
You better rush to Walmart and just print all those photos off.
I'm going to do that right after this episode. No.
No, don't support Walmart. I'm joking.
No. Boycott Walmart, everyone. Support local.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Sarah, do you have another question?
Okay. Imagine you have the ability to bring one deceased artist back to life for a collaboration. Who would it be, and what kind of song would you want to create?
There's a few for sure, but
feel free to name as many as you'd like.
I think David Bowie and I could do a really great collaboration. I would like to think that we would make like a 10-minute epic that just draws on every style Bowie has done. And I'll just insert myself into it wherever I feel necessary. But, you know, there's a lot. Obviously, I'm a big Doors fan. I love Jim Morrison. I think that would be cool. Yeah. I would say Bowie, probably number one.
And I love longer songs, too, like, especially if you can pull it off. So that would be super cool to explore just, you know, a 10-minute song of all the
genres. I haven't done it yet. I have never made, like, a super long song, but when the time presents itself, it'll be good.
Oh, my God, yeah, definitely. And I think it will. I think it will, for sure, someday, potentially. Whether it's one that you play live or not, who knows? But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I do really like when you can get lost. And like I said, I have been kind of getting lost in your music lately, just in the best way possible, lost, of course. But I like longer songs when they can do that same thing as well, just to make you really zone out, escape the world.
Have you guys saw any good shows or any good concerts in the last year or so?
Yeah, you saw.
I saw Charlotte Cardin, if you're familiar with her. I really love her stuff. I saw her in December as well. I'm kind of just into, I don't know, not just into, but I really like a lot of Francophone music. So I've seen Les Hay Babies.
Yeah.
Love them. They're just so fun too.
A few of my bandmates, they're Acadian. And like, I know that my keyboardist, Julie Doucette, She's played with a lot of the Moncton Francophone artists at different times, like Pierre Guitar and Simon Daniel. You've had someone on your podcast recently. I'm trying to
Mode Saunier. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I've never met Mode, but there's a little bit of a connection there. The drummer in my band, his friend Patrick Martin, who helped record my record, they filmed Mode's recent music video.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. No, the music industry is so, like, small. Like, there's so many connections all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. So, talking about memories and just reminiscing on things, if you had to write a song, I guess, like, on a childhood memory, like, anything right now, or something that stood out to you, or just a really significant, maybe you have written one, actually. I'm not sure if you really write your lyrics kind of on a personal level, or if it's, or if some, you know, I guess the inspiration can come from anywhere, but I just wanted to ask, like, what would a song look like, or if you have written a song that's, like, super kind of personal to you or about an experience like that?
Yeah, a lot of my lyrics are very personal. A lot of times I'll write them in the like perspective of someone else, but I'm really talking about myself. I think a lot of artists do that because they don't want to be too on the nose with things. But I wrote a song on my last acoustic record. It's called The Winter of You. Mm. I wrote it in the Days Inn Hotel in Newcastle, Miramichi.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, I was quarantining there, and I was I've always been very open that I've struggled with depression most of my adult life, and especially seasonal depression. And I remember just sitting on the bed in that room during quarantine, and, you know, there was just so much happening at that time, and I was watching, like, the snow come down, and I was just having, like, a stream of consciousness. And so that song is, like, a very personal song to me, and probably the most personal song I've ever wrote.
Yeah. So you said that was on an acoustic record. Now, when it comes to writing with the band, I mean, I'm not sure if everyone kind of pitches in, or if it's more of a collaboration that way, or if I just was wanting to know if, I guess, with the band, that dynamic is different in terms of how much you put of your own experience into the lyrics, or if it's more of a collaborative kind of.
Well, I write all the lyrics. Basically, what will happen is I'll write like the bare bones idea of a song. I think like a lot of bands sort of operate on this level. They'll have like kind of like a primary songwriter that will come in with a sketch of an idea. Then they'll tell the rest of the band, okay, so these are the basic chords, and the rest of the band will kind of make their own like instrumentation and their parts in it. And that seems to work for us, and it works for a lot of other bands. Like the musicians in my band are just incredible. So I would never tell them, yeah, you should play the drums this way. Or I would never do that because I would just let them do their thing. And I think if you're going to come in with a song that you wrote, like you could at least give them the opportunity to at least come up with their own musical ideas.
That must be the fun kind of part about being in a band, is that each person gets to bring kind of something different.
I think that's like, if you want longevity in a band, it's having that level of respect for the people in your band and hearing out their ideas and you know, like working out every idea just to see like base its merit. And
for sure.
This is kind of a music question, but I'm just wondering, what's the process of like filming your music videos? Like, where do you film your music videos, I guess?
Well, I have quite a few of them. A lot of them were done different ways. I have a friend who he worked on this record as well, James McClafferty. He runs an audio and video business out of Miramichi called Mobian Productions. And we're really close friends, and we've collaborated on a lot of different videos. And it's nice to have someone in your friend circle that's like, you know, like a really good cinematographer. And so I feel very fortunate that we get to work on a lot of videos. We're probably going to do another one here pretty soon. But a lot of the ones that I did for my acoustic record, like the song Up in Lights and The Winner of You and a few of those videos, those were actually green screen videos, like just not cheesy ones.
Yeah.
Wait, so for the Winter music video,
yeah,
I was looking at it today. Did you have like a snow machine?
No, that
or was that like...
No, but I think what we did there was we filmed it on a green screen, and we found like I might have bought the rights to like a loop that has like snow coming down, and we impose that in the background. But I would randomize it, because nothing is worse than when you're seeing like a loop happening and you can see when the loop ends and starts again. So okay, we would randomize it to make it seem like a little bit more natural, I guess.
And I guess it really worked, because you had Sarah tricked.
No, it looked really good.
Thank you.
I thought it was like real snow. Yeah.
It's like, why is his hair not getting wet in the video?
I love that. Speaking of hair, appearance, all that, how would you define, I guess, like, I feel like you have a really kind of put together vibe, like aesthetically, in terms of like appearance. Have you had like, I guess, various kind of periods of like how you should present yourself, like whether that's during shows kind of thing, or have you really settled on a vibe, or is it still just evolving kind of?
Well, you know, I think that I've been sort of rocking my own style for like such a long time now that I don't even think anyone really bats an eye at it anymore. Just like, I understand that, especially in a place like Miramichi, I'm a little bit of an odd card. Like, no, I'm just, you know, I've always had a fascination with definitely like British and European kind of like mod culture, and there's a little bit of that showbiz aspect to it that I appreciate. But I feel like I dress like that whether I'm doing a show or not. Like I got my vest, I got my scarf, got the hair all up.
I love your purple jacket that you have.
Oh, thank you. Do I have it here? No, I don't. But,
how dare you? No.
No, but I just love different things. Like, no, I love my blazers. I love sequin stuff. I think it's just it, it's even if I wasn't a musician, I feel like I would dress like this anyway because it's just how I feel comfortable.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's awesome. I love that it's more self-expression than it is really, I guess, tied to a performance or... Because, you know, some artists, they put on a whole different... Like, I'm thinking kind of Lady Gaga, or not even that big, but I just mean, you know, a lot of artists are very much tied to that crazy or just... Not crazy, but just they put on a whole different vibe on when they go on stage versus their day-to-day life. So I think that's really cool that you embody that no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not like I go on stage wearing a full sequin suit, then I show up at the coffee shop the next day in Crocs and like an Echo t-shirt. Like it's pretty, I'd like to think that I'm like pretty consistent with
it. Yeah, no, that's nice. Consistency is key.
Yeah,
that's cool. Now this one's kind of fun. I know we're talking a lot about music, but I feel like it's very relevant. This next one is kind of interesting. So the band's upcoming record comes out April 26th, by the way. That's in 9 days, everyone. It has how many? 8 tracks?
Yeah, 8.
Okay. Now, if you were to pick, this is a really weird comparison, but a food or a dish for each track, like that just
this
like
is such a great this is my favorite question I've ever been asked already.
That just like kind of encapsulates or symbolizes or just that you would use to represent the nature of each song, what would it be? And I'm not sure, have you released the track list of the album? I haven't done a whole lot of digging, so I'm not sure if you...
No, I don't think so. Like, a picture might have slipped somewhere.
Yeah, but, I just mean, if you're keeping things under wraps, you don't have to refer to their titles or anything, but by all means, just...
No, we can. No, this is an interesting question. I'm going to say Love Lorn, the intro instrumental. That's some... Like, I feel like that's, like, it's got to be, like, a real serious food. So I'm going to say maybe like oysters on the half shell, just...
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe with a little horseradish on the side, but okay. So next song is In a Moment. That's like pretty upbeat. I'm going to say it's kind of maybe like steak frites or something, like yeah. Steak and fries.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay. I Could Have. That's a little dreamier. I'm going to say... Am I answering this correctly? Like,
there is no correct answer. Yeah, like that. No, that's right, what I'm answer. Expecting. I'm yeah. kind of I'm picturing
so
like
a food for every song.
Yeah, like if you and after this we can release a itinerary for the Dylan Ryan and the Dream Romantic in Polaroid menu.
Yeah, menu. Yeah,
it's like dinner and a show. But
I'm a massive foodie, so everyone should go follow my food Instagram.
You have a food Instagram?
Yeah, it's called NB Meals.
Wow.
Oh, I'll definitely be following. Yeah.
I'm going to check that out. Oh, my God.
I'm typing it down right now.
NB Meals.
So track 3, I Could Have. I'm going to give that to pan-seared salmon with a tarragon lemon butter sauce.
Oh, damn.
You are a foodie.
Yes.
The fact that you just said that...
You just
that is like foodie behavior. What you just said.
Maybe verging on pretentious, but
never.
The Lies Between, we're going to give that to Beef Tartare. Ah. A little more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
A little bit of an acquired taste, perhaps.
Yeah.
Track 5, So Lovely. I feel like that needs to go to like something very vibrant, maybe a little bit. What's a good summer dish?
I'm trying to think. I guess I've never really thought about
colorful.
Why am I thinking salad? But like salad doesn't.
Me too. Salad, I was thinking like, of like a fruit salad.
Yeah,
a fruit salad. Is that does that pale in comparison though to the rest of them being like steak tart? You know what I mean.
This, I love this assignment. We're gonna get through it. We're halfway through the record. Maybe a nice like summer salad with maybe some walnuts, some feta cheese on it, some strawberries, like something where you get a little bit of sweet and savory, but
love it.
Totally umami at the same time.
Yeah.
I see the vision.
Yeah, track 6, The Story. I'm going to give that to just a nice roast chicken. Like, keep it kind of classic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are either of you vegetarian?
No.
Okay. I would have thrown in a vegetarian dish here.
Oh. Fair enough.
Track number 7, Address to You. I'm going to give that to tagliatelle bolognese, so a nice Italian dish.
Wow, I love it.
And
you are eating good.
Yeah, I try to. And and track number 8, Ghost of a Lonely Soul. I'm going to give that to the last one. This is so hard.
Is it going to be dessert, or is it going to be?
Oh, let's yeah. That is such a good point, because we've had appetizers in there. We've had a salad. We have had some main course. So let's finish this off with maybe keep it like a nice creme brulee with but lots of fruit on top. Like that's the best kind. Just the creme brulee with maybe some blackberries.
Yum.
And a little bit of crushed almonds on top. Let's do that. So that is the Dylan Ryan Impolaroid menu.
I love it. I love it. And a local business should definitely make all of those, even just like mini portions of each, and then you eat them as you listen. I think
an eight course tasting menu.
Yeah. 100% while listening to the entire album. Make it happen, Dylan. Come on.
Wow, no. You should do that. That's a good idea.
Imagine. That would be cool though.
I want to give you guys props, cuz that I've done a lot of interviews in my life and that is like the greatest question anyone's ever asked.
There's so many interview questions and like we did ask of course about inspirations because I feel like it's cool to know where you're coming from, but at the same time I like those questions that catch you off guard, that make you think a little bit, like, what the hell did he just ask me?
I think you know? Guys are a little bit known for that, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we kind of are a little bit. We just like to, we really like to have more, I guess, extraordinary conversations than just the ordinary. Because there's so much, of course, you know, the news and the media. But I feel like a lot of content nowadays can be rigid or, like, structured in terms of interviews. So yeah. I really find it fun when we get to do these kind of theoretical fun questions.
Do you guys have like a podcast beverage? Do you always have like a certain drink with you?
Kale
has some fun drinks sometimes.
Sometimes, not lately, because I'm too broke to afford many drinks. However, you know, different weeks will go by and I just pull up to the podcast and I'm like, so it's like, what are you drinking today? And I'll be like, oh, you know, I have a couple beer, like, you know, some local craft beer from Halifax, or
shout out to Good Robot.
Yes,
you know them.
Yeah. Shout out to Good Robot. Their beer is really good. Yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to think. Sarah, you're usually just water, honestly.
I'm just a water gal. Yeah.
You got to get that H2O.
Yeah, and
I know.
And then doing a podcast for like we're coming up on a year now, next month. So we've had so many different periods where like. I almost thought to myself, oh my gosh, are we going to record an episode this week? Because I have like such a bad cold. And so sometimes, you know, it'll be a hot beverage, like a nice tea. But yeah, what are you sipping on?
This, I've got some coffee here. I got the Calico blend.
Hey, shout out to Calico.
Ooh, shout out Calico.
Yeah, shout out to Katie and all the fine staff at Calico.
I was going to ask, wait, did you go to high school with Katie?
I did, but I didn't really know Katie in high school. I'm only starting to get to know Katie now, but
okay.
Yeah, we're the same age.
Okay, nice. Yeah, we've had Katie on the podcast before. She said she was really excited to listen to our episode with you. Yeah, so shout out to Katie. She's been shouted out on a couple different episodes, so it's funny.
Yeah, she gave me a shout out when she was on yours.
Well, yes, yeah, because that was her Bop of the Week, was So Lovely, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, sometimes, oh, thank you, but sometimes when I look at like, all the different plays that I've gotten on Spotify or like Apple Music, it'll show like from certain people's playlists, and it's like, oh, Katie's listened to So Lovely.
That's amazing. From this playlist made by, yeah. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Sarah, do you have another question?
I sure do. Okay, so imagine you are stranded on a deserted island, and you can only listen to 3 songs for the entire time you're stranded on the island. Which 3 songs are you picking?
I was going to say, you say you hate to answer kind of the, not hate to, but like the what is your favorite song kind of thing, but I guess this is a version of that, but not necessarily your favorite, just which ones would you not be bored of?
Yeah.
I feel like they would have to be like songs maybe that are just classic. Like, I don't even know if they would be necessarily my favorite songs. I think you would want 3 songs that are like pretty different from each other.
But you said classic? Like, are you going to throw it like Don't Stop Believin' or something?
Yeah, I think that's like one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Don't Stop Believing is one of those songs that I hear so much, but I never get sick of it. So that's a great example. I even saw Journey in concert. And
oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh.
I'm going to say that. Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
That was one of my brother's favorite songs. He used to bug me all the time. He's like, you got to cover that song. That sounds just like you.
Yeah, oh my gosh, love that.
And it's another feel-good classic song. We need a like a real summer tune.
A nice summer tune.
Like, what's the vitamin D equivalent of a song? What just pumps that serotonin? I don't know. Maybe something like Mr. Brightside. Like, just something that's something that's just so classic, and it just gets you amped. So
yeah,
that's a good one.
I always said that song is like the Don't Stop Believing of this generation.
That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. I think that might be all our questions. Is it, Sarah?
Yeah, I just kind of had like a final remark, basically like what's next for you or what sort of things do you want to work on in the future? Just anything really that you see coming up.
Musically or just otherwise?
Both.
Anything really, yeah. Anything you're excited for?
You're like, well, I'm actually gonna do, I don't know, something random. I'm actually gonna go to culinary school now.
It's like I just dropped this huge bombshell. Just be like, no. Like I said, the album comes out next week, so there's going to be a lot of show announcements for that, different festivals and stuff. We're going to be pretty busy with that throughout the summer. I definitely want to do some more traveling. I want to plan a big trip this year. I really want to go to England this year. So
nice.
So that'd hopefully, be awesome. Hopefully that and. Yeah. Music aside, always working on my cooking, so.
Yeah. There we go. Did you eat anything fun today, or are you going to?
I haven't ate much today, but that'll be the first order of business after this podcast.
You'll have to pick something off the menu, maybe.
Yeah.
Off the Dylan Ryan menu.
Yeah. No, that's a lot to live up to.
I don't know if you're, you know, I love that. The fact that you know all of those. See, I feel like I couldn't even name half of those dishes. I mean, like steak frites, yeah. But like,
what's your favorite restaurant in Halifax?
There's always, we love the good Bicycle Thief.
Yeah, that's such a one that is name dropped so much, and I've never made it there.
Yeah, no, it's a really good restaurant. I really like the location of it too. I'm trying to think of just something that I order more frequently that maybe. Sarah, do you have one?
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of it, but maybe you know. It's the one that has the fire. It's on waterfront, and it has, like, sushi and stuff. I'm blanking so hard on the name.
It's, like, right by the Bicycle Thief. It's,
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not,
Why am I blanking?
Hold on. I'll pull out the map. I'll pull out the map. It's not called Smoke.
I feel like it starts with an S, maybe. Sea Smoke.
See, I was gonna say, I thought there was something smoke in the
you
title.
You said Smoke. Yeah,
or I started to, at least.
Sea Smoke is really good.
I haven't been, but I think, is it more seafood, you said?
It is, yeah. I think they have, like, other stuff too, but mostly like sushi and seafood and stuff.
What's your favorite restaurant
though? In Halifax
or wherever? I mean, you know, Halifax or anywhere.
My favorite in Halifax is Geo. It's in, which is in the what's that hotel downtown? Prince George Hotel.
Yeah,
that's really good. I mean, going to restaurants is kind of like, it's like my only vice. Like, I don't really spend money on anything else. That's like my one thing that I like to do. So I splurge every once in a while, but yeah.
And what would you say locally is your go-to?
Well, I've always said that I wish Miramichi had more good restaurants.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I really enjoy Vera's Kitchen. Obviously, it's very good.
Yeah.
Namaste is nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I always crave Namaste. Like, oh my gosh, never gets old. So good. Wow. My gosh. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and shout out to Hennessy's. Their food's good, and they always have me play there too. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. Shout out Hennessy's.
Yeah.
I love that. No, and I'm glad. I've had a lot of fun chatting with you, Dylan, and just kind of exploring things musically. I know there's so much I feel like that the future holds, you know, for you and the band, and it's cool because this is like your first project, like album together with the band, correct? I know that there've been a lot of
This is like I would say like the first like proper release, I guess.
Yeah, and so the band, I guess, has been together, at least this kind of grouping of people, for how long now?
Yeah, this lineup since 2018 or 17, around there.
Yeah.
But I started like the group in 2013. So it's been a slow kind of ebb and flow, but like I always say, that's totally fine. If you're in it for the long haul, you just got to stick it out.
100%. I love that. And I'm so excited to hear the full album, and everyone should go check it out. It comes out April 26th in Polaroid by Dylan Ryan and the Dream Romantic. I'm so excited for that. And I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast this week.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you both so much for having me. Like I said, I've been wanting to come on here forever, so.
I'm glad that we finally got the chance to sit down and chat with you. Now, I do have to do our segment. I know we talked about so many different musical things and inspirations, but what's your current bop? What's your bop of the week?
I went and saw a concert last night in Moncton. I went and saw Queens of the Stone Age, and I think they're playing in Halifax tonight, actually.
Nice.
But I'm a really big fan of the opening band, the Struts. They're a really cool band from the UK, and I'm going to pick Your Body Talks by the Struts.
Your Body Talks by the Struts. That's nice. I love that.
No, they're just kind of very quirky, very English. It's just fun.
Yeah, I love that.
Kale, I'm just looking through my music, so you go ahead.
Okay, I have one. mine right now is Objects by Big Thief. That's a good song. It makes me feel good, I guess, when I'm listening to it, just about change. You know, things moving into, I guess, different areas of comfort and discomfort in life. I always give, like, so much rationale behind my bop of the week, and then Sarah's just like, you know, I liked Sexy Back or something, like.
No, I think I'm going to say Hot to Go by Chapel Roan.
Love it.
And specifically, I like the ending, how she's like, who's coming home with me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, so good. I love the concept.
That's what I
love the concept of that song too. Just, you know, advertising yourself, but like as as takeout, you know, order up. I'm hot to go.
Yeah.
I need to educate myself on both of these songs.
Yeah, I mean they're quite different, which I love, just kind of the mixture of tunes that we bring to the table. But yeah, I just want any last remarks, Dylan, before we wrap things up?
No, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, covered everything, and rock on. And thank you all so much for listening. Thanks, Dylan, for being here.
Thank it's you been so another much.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh thank my gosh. You. And we will catch you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.